Welcome to Eastside Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today. We hope that the Lord speaks to you through this message. If you have any ways that we could minister to you or any prayer requests, please contact us at ebckro@gmail.com or 229-377-4154. Now let's tune into the message.
Turn with me in your Bibles to Ruth chapter 3. Ruth chapter 3. As you do, if you look around, you'll see several folks that aren't with us today, and we have a number of people that are sick or are taking care of sick loved ones. Just talking to Miss Jenny Drew, who's helping take care of Miss Maxine this morning. Just ask that we pray for them, and I just want to open up our time in the Word. Ask the Lord to lead us as we always do in His Word. Lead us in His Word with His Spirit as we always do, but I also want to ask the Lord just to be with those that aren't with us today that normally would be, and be with the ones they're taken care of, and just to comfort them and bring them peace right now. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your faithfulness to us. Thank you that we have the ability to gather here this morning and sing your praises and get under the authority of your word together and then go back home. God, we ask that you would lead us this morning in your word, that you would do the things that only you can. You would convict our hearts of sin, that you would make us more and more like you, those of us who know you. God, we pray that you would, in the life of the unbeliever, that you would bring them to life, that you would raise the dead. Lord, that is something that only you can do. So, Lord, we ask that you would use your word, your spirit to do that this morning, that you would bring them to a point of surrender. God, we lift up many who aren't with us this morning. Those that are sick, God, we ask that you would be with them, that you would bring them comfort and peace that only you can, that's beyond our understanding, that can only be explained by you. God, we ask that you would be with those that are caring for them, that you would just give them supernatural strength. And in days that are long and nights that are longer, God, we just ask that you would be with them. And God, even as we fellowship here this morning, we know that your spirit is with them. And so we ask that you would make that known to them this morning, that you would make your presence known to them. We pray these things in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Glad you're here with us this morning. If you haven't been with us the last couple weeks, we are in the book of Ruth. And generally speaking, usually we are walking through books of the Bible or sections of books in the Bible, big passages on Sunday mornings. One of the reasons we do that is to honor God's Word, because we believe every part of His Word is worthy of our study and is profitable to us, and He uses it to make us more like Him. And we come to one of those places that a preacher might not choose to preach this morning. If you've read Ruth 3, I was thankful that our children, I checked with Joy to make sure our children were going to Kids Rock this morning, because Ruth chapter 3 gets a little PG-13. But it's God's Word, so we're just going to walk through it the way that it is, and we know that it's profitable and good for us, and He will use it. I believe He will do that this morning. And so I'm excited, as I always am, to gather with you and get under His Word. My daughter is 18 months. Her name's Emma Louise, and like any other toddler, she tends to get herself in situations where she needs to commit one way or the other. Climbing on things. We have an ottoman that's about yay high. She's also learning that she can climb up on beds right now. And she'll do this thing where she gets one arm and one leg up on the bed and or the ottoman, whatever she's climbing on. And she goes from like trying to commit to getting on the bed to maybe getting off the bed. And she won't commit. She straddles the edge of whatever she's on. And you want to say to her, if she can understand you, just like if you'd put both feet on the ground, you'd be on the ground. If you put both feet on the bed, you'd be on the bed. But she's learning, so she's figuring it out. But she's stuck in that in-between phase of straddling, and it doesn't do her any good. We find that to be true in our spiritual lives sometimes. And we find this morning in Ruth chapter 3, a straddling faith, if you will. A faith that leads one person to place their feet on what would be God's plan and perhaps place her other foot, straddling a fence, on a backup plan. And we have Ruth is a beautiful story, and we have kind of the climax of a love story in Ruth chapter 3. And we kind of get a picture of faith, a holistic picture of faith here, one in which we see Naomi, whose faith in a way is compromised by maybe her doubt, maybe her own self-sufficiency, and a faith in Boaz, his faith is not compromised, and then a new faith in Ruth. And we see that all come to fruition in the midst of a love story between Ruth and Boaz. And so if you haven't been with us, or just to refresh your memory, we've seen Naomi's family move to Moab in the days of a famine. She loses her husband and both her sons, but before she loses her sons marry, and so she's left with two Moabite daughters-in-law. She decides to go back to Judah, to Bethlehem, specifically because she hears the famine is over. And Ruth, one of her daughters-in-law, vows her life to the death to Naomi. Your people, my people, your home, my home, your God, my God. And so Ruth and Naomi arrive as two widows in Bethlehem, not knowing how they're going to provide for themselves. And we see that God just provides what we've said the last 2 weeks, grace upon grace upon grace. Even the news of hearing that the famine was over in the land of Judah was grace. And so Ruth finds herself in the land, in the field of Boaz, harvesting behind his workers, and he then finds out who she is and is extremely generous and kind to her and says, you go to no one else's field. You don't harvest anywhere else. You stay behind my workers. Then he tells his workers to even leave grain that has already been harvested in the field behind them so that she wouldn't even have to do the work. She could just pick it up off the ground and take it. And so he provides for her for the rest of the harvest season. And in the midst of that, Ruth goes home and tells Naomi, her mother-in-law. And Naomi says, whose field have you been in? She says, Boaz. And she says, Ruth, he's one of our redeemers. And so we're going to find that we are right there in the midst, waiting to find out what's going to happen between Ruth and Boaz, and what's going to happen to Ruth and Naomi, their provision, their protection after harvest. Are they going to survive? What is going to happen? You ready to get in God's Word? All right. Read with me. I'm going to read the last verse in chapter 2 and read down to verse 6 in chapter 3. It says, so she kept close, that is Ruth, close to the young women of Boaz, gleaning until the end of barley and wheat harvest. And she lived with her mother-in-law. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, my daughter, should I not seek rest for you, that it may be well with you? Is not Boaz our relative with whose young women you were? See, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Wash, therefore, and anoint yourself, and put on your cloak, and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. But when he lies down, observe the place where he lies. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do. And she replied, all that you say, I will do. So she went down to the threshing floor and did just as the mother-in-law had commanded her. So, we're going to pull two pieces of truth out this morning. The first one is this, that God's people should align their plans with God's commands. God's people should align their plans with God's word, with the way he calls us to live. And we see Naomi, Ruth, and Boaz, all three of them throughout this chapter wrestling with aligning their plans with what God has commanded them to do, with the way that God has commanded them to live. Now, we recognize here at the end of chapter 2, and even it's repeated at the beginning of chapter 3, that Boaz is identified as one of Naomi and Ruth's redeemers. What that meant was, in the case, back in Deuteronomy chapter 5, God gives his people a specific provision for widows and orphans. In the case that a man dies, his brother is supposed to take on his wife so that she would not be widowed and so that she would be protected and provided for. Seems strange to us, but it was a way for a widow and if she had children, her children to be provided for. It was guaranteeing her provision. And if the man who died did not have a brother, then it was his next of kin. And so when Naomi says that Boaz is one of their redeemers, that is extremely good news. They have gone back to Judah. It's been 10 years or more since they've been there. People know who they are, but they have no way to provide for themselves except for people's mercy. And the first man that they meet, the kindest man that they meet, is one of their redeemers. And so Naomi recognizes this, and she tells Ruth, you don't go in anybody else's field, you stay in his field. You can kind of see the beginning of the scheme of the mother-in-law. You stay close to his people, hoping that maybe he will notice Ruth. And he has, but she's hoping that he will notice Ruth more. And the whole harvest, they arrived in Judah at the beginning of harvest. And at the chapter, beginning of chapter 3, that we see that harvest is over. And they're going to go to the threshing floor and get the grain from what they've harvested. And so it's been weeks now. And you can see Naomi sitting at home and Ruth showing up every day and her wondering, is this the day that Boaz has noticed Ruth? And it hadn't come yet. And so now's the time. The threshing floor provides a unique opportunity for Naomi in her mind. And so she leads Ruth to do some things. In verses 3, she begins giving her direction. Verse 2, he says, she says, see, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. So the thing we need to know is this would have been just about all men. It happened once a year. It would have been a lot of work, but it would have also been celebration for God's provision. And the nature of it, they would have gone outside the city to a specific area where they could thresh out the grain. And at times, not at every threshing floor, but because it was all men, because they were celebrating, it also provided an opportunity for some not so good things to go down. So there were times where these things would be places and activities of immorality. In other words, prostitutes would go at night after they were done working and eating and drinking because it was all men. And so that's the nature of sometimes when men gathered at the threshing floor to do the work. And Naomi looks at her daughter-in-law and she says, wash therefore and anoint yourself and put on your cloak and go down to the threshing floor. A place that wasn't necessarily for the women to go and work, unless they were there for some other reason, okay? And so, this is the PG-13 part. The way that she speaks to Ruth isn't just simply to wash herself and anoint herself. She's perfuming herself. It's not just to meet somebody, but it's to go meet a man. And This holds two different significances. One is the fact that she's going to meet Boaz. She is trying to look pretty for Boaz, catch his attention in every way. But also, this is a sign that her mourning over her dead husband is over. She is getting a makeover. She is telling the public that Yes, she loves her husband who has passed away. She still loves him, but it's time for her to move forward with her life. That is the message that she is sending when she does this. That is the message that Naomi is telling her daughter-in-law to send. She's saying, Ruth, it's time. It's time to move on. Tonight's the night. I want you to go down to the threshing floor and send the message to Boaz that you're done mourning and that you're available because he is an eligible bachelor. You with me so far? So notice that for Ruth, this presents a hard situation for her. She's supposed to go there at night under the cover of darkness. She's supposed to wait under the cover of darkness until Boaz has eaten and drink, not gotten drunk. There's no hint of that here. He's just eaten and celebrated the day's work and the end of harvest, and he's laid down because they have more work to do the next day. And then she's supposed to approach him. This is similar to some of the ball games some of you have been watching lately, where it comes down to the last seconds and there's one play left, one team's ahead, one team's behind, and your team's behind, and there's only one scenario where your team wins, but there's 1,000 where they lose. This is the scenario for Ruth. There's only one scenario where this works out for her good, where Boaz receives a message as a plea for redemption, a plea for him to marry her, and he acts on it. But there's a host of scenarios that could happen where he misunderstands or he takes advantage of her, and then she is left with that reputation to go back to her mother-in-law, and it is detrimental for her then and there, and it's detrimental for her future. One scenario where it works out, thousands where it could go bad, badly wrong. And so we see this playing out. And what I want us to notice here is Naomi's plan straddles the fence. It straddles the fence. The morality of the time was questionable, and the morality of Naomi's plan was questionable. See, if it worked out and Boaz wakes up and says, what do you want? And then he says, oh, well, I'm your redeemer, so let's get married. It works out. But if Naomi has her daughter-in-law in a position there's just no other way to say this, to seduce Boaz, and maybe they'll force it to work out. And so Naomi's straddling the fence where she can trust God fully or not, trust God partially, which she is, and on the other side of the fence, trust her own scheming and plan. And the question is, how is it going to work out for Ruth? What is Ruth going to do with Naomi's feet firmly planted on either side of this spiritual fence, trusting God on one hand and not on the other? And I just want us to say, we need to recognize we are tempted to do the same thing with the Lord. We are tempted to live in such a way where we trust God with our families until things get hard, and then we do things our own way. We trust God with our finances until things get tight, and then we do things our way. We trust God with our marriages until things get tough, and then we look to the world for its advice. We trust God with our future spouses until things look stark for the marriage front, and then we lower our values. In any number of scenarios, we are tempted to live in such a way where we are trusting God until it doesn't work out, and then we got our backup plan. You with me? I know I'm tempted that way. I think if we're honest, we're all tempted to live in that way. So there's a question for us. Is there a need for repentance? As God's people, as a Christian, as Christ follower, is there a need for repentance in my life? And a need for repentance in your life for straddling that fence. God's people should align our plans with God's commands. Naomi sort of did. Sort of. That brings us to our second piece of truth this morning. We should align our plans with God's commands. And in order to do so, we have to trust completely in God's providence. Trust completely in God's loving care, His ability to do so, and His want to do so. Look at verses 6 through 9. So we see Naomi's instructions, go to Boaz in the cover of darkness, wait till he lays down, lay down beside him, uncover his feet, and wait and do what he says. Now, if just think about that for a second, it is a shifty situation, okay? And so we're about to see what Ruth does in response to her mother-in-law's directions. Verse 6, it says, so she went down to the threshing floor and did just as her mother-in-law had commanded her. And so imagine it. She's gotten herself prepared. She's perfumed. She's got her cloak on. She's gone down to the threshing floor under the cover of darkness, and she hides in the darkness and watches Boaz. She watches him eat and drink. She watches him find the place where he's going to rest. She waits, and she waits until he's asleep. And then she's to go to him and uncover his feet. Verse 7, and when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. Then she came softly. It's one of those situations where you're trying not to wake anybody up. You folks that are married, another situation where you're like, your spouse is asleep on the couch and you're a little bit jealous of it. So you like move around the house loudly. And you're like, oh, you were asleep. I'm sorry, right? This is not what Ruth is doing. She is legitimately trying to stay quiet and not wake Boaz up. She comes beside him. She uncovers his feet, which is in an intimate situation. She came softly, verse 7, and uncovered his feet, and she laid down. At midnight, the man was startled and turned over, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, who are you? And she answered, I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer. Now, Ruth does everything that Naomi has told her to do. Everything. And Boaz wakes up. He's startled. He wakes up to a woman at his feet who's uncovered his feet. And he is like, what is going on here? He looks at her and he says, who are you? I heard one preacher say as I was studying this week, he may have been trying to be quiet. So he'd be like, who are you? He doesn't know what's going on. And so Ruth answers, I am Ruth, your servant. And so far, she's done exactly what Naomi's told her to do. And then she calls an audible. Look what she says next. He says, who are you? Verse 9. And she answered, I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer. Literally, to spread your cover over your servant. This is something only a husband would do for a wife. It is symbolic of the protection and provision he will provide for her for the rest of his life. This is nothing less than a marriage proposal. Naomi has given Ruth directions to go and just do what he says when he wakes up. And Ruth calls an audible. And when he wakes up, she's like, I'm Ruth, your servant. Marry me. I mean, ladies, this is the equivalent of being like the guy that you're dating, a girlfriend, going to the boyfriend and saying, this is the ring I like, and it'll look great in our pictures at Christmas. It is bold, and it's bolder than even that, because think about who Ruth is. She's a Moabite proposing to an Israelite. She's a servant proposing to a landowner. She's a woman proposing to a man. She is putting herself out there, and we could ask the reason why. And I would say to you, because Ruth's faith is bold and it's new. She recognizes who God is, and it is being birthed right here before our eyes, her faith in God to provide for her, doing life His way. You go back to chapter 1, verse 9. She heard Naomi, her mother-in-law, pray for her. She said, "The Lord grant that you may find rest," that is protection, provision, "each of you in the house of her husband," speaking to Ruth and her sister-in-law. So she's heard Naomi, her mother-in-law, ask for that from God. In chapter 2, verse 12, she heard Boaz pray for her. He said, "The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." She'd heard Boaz ask the Lord to bless her and provide protection and provision for her. And Ruth, this Moabite coming from a land that is filled with immorality, is just connecting the dots. She has been introduced to God Almighty from a distance, the one who has brought food back to the land. She has come into the land and seen him provide grace after grace after grace upon her. She's heard these prayers for her, and she just connects the dots. She knows how these people are supposed to live, and so she's going to live the way they're supposed to. Uncompromised morality. She's in this compromising position, but she chooses to honor the Lord with her purity and her sexuality right here. And instead of going down a road that Naomi left an option open for her, she says, "Boaz, marry me." In order for Ruth to align her, and catch this, in order for Ruth to align her plans with God's commands, she had to trust completely in God's providence. She had to trust completely that she was going to be okay, irregardless of the things that she couldn't control in that situation. She trusted completely in God's providence. Christian, we need to notice the high risk in doing this. And no, it's only risky if God doesn't pull through. But apart from the Lord, it's very risky. But Ruth trusted the Lord completely. Non-Christian, notice the risk absent of the Lord in this situation, but notice the lack of risk if the Lord pulls through in this situation. Notice the peace that is offered to Ruth if the Lord remains true to who he's been so far in her life. And the good news is the Lord does not change. The question is, what will Boaz say? Read verses 10 and 11. And he said, "May you be blessed." Let's stop right there. Boaz could have said anything here. He could have said, "Get out of here. You're a Moabite. Get out of here. You're my servant. Get out of here. You're a woman talking to me like that. Get out of here. You're behaving like a prostitute." But he says in verse 10, he says, "May you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. You have made this kindness greater than the first, in that you have not gone after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you ask, for all my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman." He blesses her. He praises her actions, and he praises her. He uses this term, worthy woman, the same words that describe the Proverbs 31 woman. He uses to describe this Moabite widow because of her faith. But notice there's a complication. Continue reading with me. Verse 12. He says, "And now it is true that I am a redeemer." In other words, I'm an eligible bachelor. It's true. "Yet there is a redeemer nearer than I. Remain tonight and in the morning. If he will redeem you, good, let him do it. But if he is not willing to redeem you, then as the Lord lives, I will redeem you. Lie down until morning." So she lay at his feet until the morning, but arose before one could recognize another. And he said, "Let it not be known that the woman came to the threshing floor." And he said, "Bring the garment you are wearing and hold it out." So she held it, and he measured out 6 measures of barley and put it on her. Then she went into the city. And when he came to her mother-in-law, she said, "How did you fare, my daughter?" And then she told her all that the man had done for her, saying, These 6 measures of barley he gave to me, for she said to me, you must not go back empty-handed to your mother-in-law. She replied, wait, my daughter, until you learn how the matter turns out, for the man will not rest, but will settle the matter today. So there's a complication. The complication is this. Naomi and Ruth have found the perfect man for Ruth. But there is a man that is nearer kin than Boaz. And in order for Ruth to marry Boaz, that man has to be told the situation and given the option to marry Ruth. And so instead of compromising his faith, he believes in the word of the Lord. He trusts the word of the Lord. He encourages Ruth to do the same. He says, if he will redeem you, good. You will be provided for. You will be protected if he redeems you. Let him do it. If not, if he's not willing, as the Lord lives, I will redeem you. Notice what has happened in Ruth and Naomi's life. At this point in the book of Ruth, they have been guaranteed that in their future, they will be provided for and protected one way or another. The question is whether it's going to be Boaz or not. And Boaz leaves it in the Lord's hands. He says, we will go by the word of the Lord the way he's commanded us to do that. There is a nearer kinsman than I will check with him. If he's not, I will. So even Boaz, his trust is complete in the Lord as he aligns his plans, this plan of marrying Ruth, with God's commands. And notice the encouragement that would have provided for Ruth, who is wrestling with how to apply her own faith in this situation. She sees this man of God who has been a man of God the whole time act in such a way that he's telling her, you've trusted the Lord the whole time. Continue to trust him completely. Continue to trust him completely. Continue to live the way you're living. This is the climax of this story. The story's end is in Ruth chapter 4, but this is the climax, and we have one of compromised faith, Naomi, straddling the fence of trusting the Lord and trusting our own plans. We have one of uncompromised faith in Boaz, one who says, this is the way that the Lord has called us to do it. This is the way we're going to do it. And we have one of new faith, who has seen the Lord work, has seen the Lord provide for her and the people around her, and she says, I'm going to trust him. And so, Christian, we should be encouraged this morning. Perhaps this morning, the Spirit of God himself is convicting you of straddling the same fence that Naomi was. Living God's way until it gets hard, until it gets complicated, and then in living by your backup plan or having a backup plan in case his way doesn't work out, in case he's not faithful to you. Perhaps there's a need for repentance in your life. And notice that Boaz was mature in his faith, but he continued to come into places in his life where he had to trust completely in the Lord and his word. It's the same for us. So maybe you need to come to the Father this morning and just ask the Lord to forgive you, to give you the strength and the wisdom to know his will for you and to follow it and to trust him completely and trust in his loving care for you completely. Maybe you're here this morning and you know all about the Lord, but you've yet to trust him completely. You know that his word is good for you, and you know that there's things about his church that are good for you, but you have just yet to trust and surrender your life to him. Perhaps you would this morning. Just as Ruth did, say, I'm not leaning on anybody or anything else. I'm going to trust the God of the universe, the God of Israel, with my life. Know that he's provided everything you need in your life and for your eternity in his Son. Though you're a sinner, his Son came and lived a perfect life for you. Though you deserve death because of your sin, his Son died for you on the cross. And though we deserve hell because of our sin, he conquered sin, death, and hell in his resurrection. And the call to you, the faith that Ruth proclaimed in her actions is all that God is asking of you this morning. That you would place faith in his son, that you would believe in his providence, in the cross and the resurrection of his son. Would you do that this morning? If you're a Christian here and you need to repent this morning, would you repent of living self-sufficiently and not depending on him completely? May the Lord fill our church with Ruths and Boazes. Let's pray and respond. Father, you are good and holy and glorious. You are faithful even when we are not. You are faithful whether we believe it or not, God. And I thank you this morning for Ruth chapter 3. I thank you for the numerous examples of faith, God. And I pray that you would give each individual, including myself in here, the faith of Boaz and the faith of Ruth, uncompromised, completely trusting in your loving care of us. Lord, convict us of where we aren't. And give us the strength and the wisdom we need to adjust there. Lord, bring those who don't know you to know you. May they come and surrender their life to you today. In your holy name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Hello, my name is Andrew Donaldson, and I'm the pastor here at Eastside Baptist in Cairo. And I want to thank you for taking time to study God's Word with us. If the Lord is working in your life and you have questions about anything you have heard, or you have questions about what it means to trust and follow Jesus, we want to connect with you, pray with you and pray for you, and walk with you through God's Word to answer your questions. The best way to do that is by clicking on the contact link at the top of our webpage. There you will find our phone number, 229-377-4154, and our email address, ebccairo@gmail.com. Thanks again, and we hope you have a wonderful day.
I've been held by the Savior. I've felt a fire from above. I've been down to the river. I ain't the same, a prodigal return. Thank God that yesterday's gone. All my sins are forgiven. And I've been washed by the blood. I'm no stranger to the prison. I've worn shackles and chains, but I've been freed and forgiven. And I'm not going back, I'll never be the same. So I say, oh, my hope is in Jesus. Thank God my yesterday's gone. All my sins are forgiven. I've been washed by the blood. There's a kind of thing that just breaks me. Break him down to his knees. God, I've been broken more than a time or two. Yes, Lord, then he picked me up and showed me what it means to be a man. Come on and sing. All my hope is in Jesus. I've been lost, but I